Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy and the first chapter. As has already been stated, it's very good to have each of you here. As a speaker, I want you to know I appreciate your presence very much. We have a good group of folks here. And among those who are with us are young people from a wide range of age that I think probably most of us would call young people. We've got some very new babies, and we've got some preteen, and we've got some teenagers, and we've got some 20-somethings. Probably all of those would fall into that broad category of what we refer to as being young people. And I'd like to, this morning, for a few moments, talk to and about those who are young. And whenever I think of those who are young in the Scriptures, I inevitably think of Timothy and the things that the Apostle Paul particularly had to write about Timothy. You know, Timothy, however, is not the only young person that the Scriptures speak of. The Scriptures speak about a lot of young people. From the time that they are infants and up to the time that they become adults, making their decisions and charting the course of their lives. Some of those people turned out to be pretty rotten. I mean, you think about Cain. We read in our scripture reading a few moments ago about Absalom. These were individuals who, at one point in time, were these little, innocent, pure, joy-bringing babies that bounced on somebody's knee. But they grew up. And they grew up to become something not so innocent, not so pure, and not at all bringers of joy. But there are some within the Scriptures who grew up to be quite different than that, and they did grow up to become people who were pure in their lifestyle, and people who were blameless before God in the way that they lived. People who were sources of great joy. And Timothy is just one of many that we could speak about who fall into that category. But I want to talk to you about Timothy this morning. You know, raising Timothy could not have been an easy task. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see where Paul makes some references to the raising of Timothy. He says, beginning in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Now here's a young man, Timothy, as we see in Paul's writings to him in the second letter, and also the one that preceded this letter, the first letter to Timothy. We see Paul's references to him as a young man, as a young evangelist. We see the tender address in this very passage that we've read, where Paul speaks to him as to my son, that is, his son in the faith. So there was a tender relationship that existed, a great appreciation that this man, the Apostle Paul, had in Timothy. But Timothy had become the kind of man that he was not merely by accident. There had been a great deal of effort put into Timothy becoming the kind of man that he was. Not just the effort that Paul had invested in the teaching that he did to Timothy, but in the work and in the effort that Timothy's own mother and grandmother had put into raising him to be the kind of man that he became. And it was not an easy task to raise Timothy in the time of history that he lived in the area of the world that he lived in. Sensuality and immorality was rampant throughout the pagan world at that time. And yet, in some way, somehow, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on in our lesson, but somehow, Lois and Eunice were able to impress Timothy and to influence Timothy in such a way that he grew up to become something better than most of his contemporaries around him who would have been influenced by that age that they lived in. Do we live in an age greatly different? Do we live in a society that is free of those immoral and sensual kinds of influences? Oh, our world isn't greatly different, I think. And it is just as difficult, I suppose it has always been difficult, to raise children to become young men and young women like Timothy was. I remember hearing the story of a preacher one time who was preaching. He preached in a foreign country, and he was back in the United States and visiting churches and telling about his work in this foreign country. And there was this lady who had come to this one particular church, and she had brought her three children with her, and they were just into everything, and they were disruptive, and it just was not a good circumstance. All through this man's presentation, these three children of this lady just caused all kind of trouble. But after the whole thing was over with, this lady comes rushing up to the preacher and she says, "Oh, I have decided after hearing you, I want to be a missionary." And he says, "Well, that's good, sister." He says, "The first thing the Lord wants you to do is to take care of those three heathens right there." Well, I want to tell you, it has always been difficult to raise children, because they have always had to be protected, warned, guarded from the kinds of influences that Timothy had to face and that our own children have to face. Sometimes I hear children say, "You know, my parents, they're just so unfair. While my brother and sister, they're older than me, and they didn't have to go by this rule, or they didn't have to go by that rule. Things were different for them. It was easier for them." I like the response that one fella gave to a child who was expressing those dissatisfactions. He said, "Yes, but your parents never raised anybody like you." And that's true. Because children are different. Brothers and sisters are different one from the other. And it will take different approaches, but there are some constants. There are some things that will apply for every child that we raise. And it seems to me that Eunice and Lois give us a great pattern to follow. And we'll return to that pattern in a few moments. But not only is it true that it was not easy raising Timothy, friends, it was not easy being Timothy. It was not easy growing up in a circumstance like he grew up in. And it is not easy being a young person today either. And so just like we see someone like Timothy and we appreciate what this young man was and what he became, what he chose to be as a result of the influence of his mother and his grandmother, so too should we appreciate those young men and young women that we see today trying to become people like Timothy was, making the kinds of choices that Timothy made. It was not an easy thing to be Timothy. It's not an easy thing to be a young person today. I'm reminded of a statement made in the book of Ezekiel, and I'll put a plug in here. This coming Sunday, we're going to begin in the auditorium a new quarter, a study of Ezekiel. Stan's leading our singing. You should have taken the opportunity to put in a plug for 1 Corinthians when you had it. But in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 3 and verse 15, the prophet talks about how he went to the place of captivity where God's people were being held. He went to the brook or to the river Kibar, and he sat there. And he says, I sat where they lived for 7 days. I want to tell you something. There's a good pattern there. There's a good lesson there for us. I suppose if we had to sit where our young people live today, if we had to go to their schools, if we had to go to their work, if we had to be around the kind of their friends, if we saw 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all of the things that they were confronted with, we would probably be amazed. We might be amazed at how well they're doing in face of these kinds of things. It was not easy being Timothy. He tried to live in a world that had no moral code. He tried to live with moral codes that made him different than the rest of the people around him. And to a young person, oftentimes being different can be the worst possible thing that could ever happen. We talk about peer pressure a lot of times. Maybe you've heard the story about the old man. He turned 100 years old and someone asked him, well, tell me, what's the best thing about being 100 years old? He didn't wait for a moment. He said, no peer pressure. Well, I want to tell you that the young people have a lot of peer pressure. And being different than one's peers oftentimes is the worst in our minds. We can think of it as being the worst possible thing. And so to make a deliberate choice and then to put into action day after day those things that make one different is an amazing thing. It was amazing in Timothy, and it's amazing in the young men and young women today. But Timothy did it at a young age. You know, so many times we think, well, while we're young, there's really nothing important we can do. Or we'll think, well, the young people, they just need to kind of be there. And you know the old saying, speak when you're spoken to. And you just don't become observable until you're addressed. Well, young people can and should do some outstanding things. And there are so many Bible characters who in their young age did wonderful and amazing things. I think about Daniel. You know, in all likelihood, Daniel was a teenager when he was taken captive. And when he went to Babylon with that first group of Jews who were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, when he was put into the service of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he made the determination that he would do nothing that would defile himself, he purposed in his heart to do nothing that would defile himself. He was but a teenager at the time. And what that means is he determined he would stand before a king and say, I will not betray my God. I will live by a moral code, even though it's different than what is being observed around me. I will live by a moral code that is God's, and I will not deviate from it. Joseph, we know, there's no speculation, we know Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, taken down into Egypt, put into the service of Potiphar, there then approached by Potiphar's wife, seeking to tempt him to become engaged in sinful activities, which he refused. How can I do this sin? How can I commit this sin against God? A teenager that God uses as an example of faith to us. Now, don't you think for a moment that as a young person that there's nothing significant, there's nothing important that I can do. I'll tell you what's significant and important that you can do. You can choose to live in a way that is right. I'm not telling you it will always be easy. But it will always be right. And I don't believe that you'll ever regret it. I'll tell you what may happen though, is if you choose to fall in line with the crowd and you begin to do the things everybody else is doing and you find things beginning to fall apart in your life, what you may very well find out is that following the crowd is what brings regrets later in life, not choosing to be different. So it's not an easy thing to raise Timothy. It was not an easy thing to be Timothy. But how is it that Timothy came about? I told you that we would return to the idea that Paul expresses here in verse 5 when he talks about the fact that in Lois and Eunice there existed faith that then was transmitted to Timothy. Timothy learned how to be this kind of person from a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And so I want to suggest to you very quickly that there are three things that can be done in order to raise a Timothy and in order to become a Timothy, because both have to be involved. Lois and Eunice could not make him be this kind of person. He had to be willing to follow what he saw in them. And the first thing that I want to suggest to you that Paul indicates here was involved was a faith that was unfeigned. You want to know what, if you don't know what feign means, it just means fake. It means something that's not sincere, something that's not true. It's not genuine. And so Paul's saying about Lois and Eunice that theirs was an unfeigned faith. He is saying that it was a sincere faith. It was genuine. In short, it was a faith that was not a pretend faith. It was a faith that was put into practice. James chapter 2 tells us, you know, that faith without works is dead. And what Lois and Eunice had was a faith that worked. It was a faith that was put into practice. May I tell you this about kids, if you don't already know it, and I suspect most of you do. They will know you for what you are. If your faith is feigned, you may fool the preacher and the elders, and you may fool all of those people down there at the Tustin Church, but if your faith is feigned, you're not going to fool those kids. There's a wonderful statement in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 15 where the king Hezekiah has received visitors from Babylon, and he has shown them everything in his kingdom. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him and he asks him a great question. He says, have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah's answer is, well, all that I have in my house they have seen. Now, I want to take that out of that context and tell you that's exactly what's going to happen in your house. All that is in your house, they will see. They will know you for what you are. Very many times, and I'm not saying this is always the case, please don't misunderstand me, but very many times, when you see a child grow up and as they get to that age of responsibility and they become an adult, a young adult, and then they begin, you know, they're all out on their own, and as they go out on their own, they also go out away from the Lord's people. Their faith is gone. Very many times, you know, we think, well, what happened? I don't want to tell you what happened. Oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, what happened was they grew up for years and years watching parents being one thing when they're in a place like this and another thing when they were at home. And all that was in their house, those children saw. And then when the day came for them to leave that house, they went away and they became exactly what they were learning that the rest of folks never saw. That's not always the case. You can say, well, David, I know of children who grew up in the homes of good, honest, godly people, and they left. And I know that's right. That's absolutely right. That can happen. Because as I've already indicated, those Timothys grow up and they make their own choices, and they don't always make the right choices. But I know good, godly parents can have children who choose to leave the Lord. All we've got to do is read the life of Samuel, the prophet, whose two sons grew up to be characters like Cain and Absalom. Men who became worthless in character. It wasn't because of a bad parent. But what we must do as parents is we must make sure that what they see in our house is an unfeigned faith. But also, what he saw in Lois and Eunice was not only a sincere faith, but he saw a dominant faith. He saw a faith that came first in importance. Timothy knew exactly what they wanted for him. It wasn't scholarships to the University of Athens. It wasn't that he become an athletic star. It wasn't business achievements that they wanted for him. What he saw in his mother and his grandmother was an example of two people that wanted for him to be a person of faith himself. He learned what was prominent, what was preeminent in the life of Lois and Eunice by what he saw. Now, if you want to raise a Timothy, then what that child needs to see is a faith that's unfeigned, a faith that's first. And the third thing, they not only taught Timothy what to believe, but they taught him why to believe it. Had they only taught him rules and right and wrong, he might have found occasions where the rules didn't seem to apply. Had they only taught him traditions, then he might enter a culture. And you know, if you know the life of Timothy, he entered many cultures. But if all they had taught him was traditions, he might have entered a culture where those traditions, those customs were out of place. Instead, they taught him why he should believe what he believed. and they helped him to believe it. Now what that means is they explained things to him. They would answer his questions. They wouldn't only say, well, you'll do it because I said to do it. Now, hear me out here. Don't turn me off. Sometimes that's an appropriate answer. You'll do it because I said to do it. I love the old Bill Cosby show. I remember one of the shows where he was talking to his son. His son hadn't made very good grades, and the Huxtables had been trying to encourage him, you know, do your best, do your best. And so the son finally said to him, Dad, you know, I just wish that you could love me for who I am. And he went on this long, you know, heart-rending kind of request, just love me for who I am. And after he had finished, his dad said, Son, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. And what was funny in the show was that when the boy finished his appeal, some in the crowd, you know, it was filmed before a live audience, some in the crowd started applauding. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Love, love, love me for who I am. When the father said, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard, there was a wild cheer from the audience, from the parents. And of course, he went on to tell him, to say to him, you will do the best that you can do because that is what we have said for you to do. It's back to that old, you'll do it because I told you to. That's a good answer. Sometimes. But it is not a good answer all of the time. Young people can become like Timothy if they see in their parents and their grandparents faith that is unfeigned, faith that is first, and also faith that is explained. They need an environment in which they can ask questions and be able to discuss them and get answers more than just because I said so. It's not easy to raise a Timothy. And it's not easy to be a Timothy. But oh, what wonderful rewards there are in being Timothy. What about you? Are you striving to be a young man, a young woman, an old man, or an old woman? Like Timothy. A person with firm convictions, not based upon traditions, not based upon family beliefs, but based upon God's Word. One of the wonderful statements we just concluded in this quarter of our Bible study, a study in the book of Philippians, and in the second chapter of that book, one of the most wonderful declarations made about the character of an individual. Paul said of Timothy, I have no one of like mind. He said to the Philippians, you know of his proven worth, of how he is concerned about your well-being. You can become a person like that if you would give your obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you would follow the example of Christ, that's what Timothy did. And if you do likewise, you can become a man or a woman like him. If you believe Jesus is God's Son, then today turn away from your sins, repent of them. Confess your faith in Christ. Be baptized to wash the guilt of your sins away. And then embark on that life of following the example of Jesus. And it will lead you inevitably to the same place that it led Timothy. Have you started down that road at some point in the past and strayed off of it? Then come back to it. Turn away from your sins. Seek God's forgiveness. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you that you can once again return to your Lord. But if you're subject to His invitation in any way, we bid you to come while we stand and sing.